Good morning. Today is Saturday, May 28, 2016, and let the record show that the House Resources Committee was convened at 10:09 a.m. Present are Representative Johnson, Representative Josephson, Representative Heron, Representative Tarr, Representative my co-chair, Representative Tallarico, and myself, Representative Benny Nalea. We had an overview of House Bill 246, Aid Funds, Loans, Programs, and Dividends yesterday. Today we'll take public testimony on House Bill 246 from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. A few ground rules for folks who want to provide their testimony. State your name and affiliation. You'll have 3 minutes for testimony, and we'll rotate between legislative information offices, off-net testimony, and in-room testimony to minimize the wait time for anyone who has signed up for public testimony. Let's open the testimony. We'll start with the LIOs. We have Carol Moriarty of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association in Fairbanks, and she will give her testimony. Welcome, Ms. Moriarty.
Thank you, Chairman Nagia, Co-Chair Tallarico, and other members of the committee. For the record, my name is Carol Moriarty, and I'm the President and CEO of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, and I'll just take a few minutes here to briefly explain why, even though House Bill 246 may seem like a good idea on the face of it, but I'm going to explain why we do oppose the bill. As you know, AOGA is a diverse group of members ranging from producers and explorers, refineries, pipeline companies. And even with all the challenges our industry has been facing the past year, none of my members have ever voiced concern about a shortage of state loans to weather this downturn. If there isn't a clear unmet need, we don't understand why we would be expanding the loan program. I think you've heard over the past 6 months or so, through the collective voice of us, or the trade association, or individually, active explorers and producers of Alaska have testified repeatedly that the incentives and tax policies Alaska already has are working, and that they are doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing, and frankly, accomplishing the very intent set out for this proposed bill in Ada's presentation that's online that was dated March 16th. So for example, they have a slide in that presentation that talks about their intent, and we think the current system is already accomplishing that. The current fiscal system is attracting small and medium-sized companies to Alaska. Production has increased from last year to this year, and new fields have come online. The current system is attracting new investment, resulting in more jobs, more production, and yes, even more state revenue than there would have been without that investment. And utilities have testified that increased investment and production have resulted in short-term energy supply contracts to South Central. So, if necessary, small producers have secured existing loans from third-party lenders, and these third-party lenders were typically designed to cover the producer's portion of development costs that would be in addition to the amount funded by the current tax credit laws. So moreover, even if more state loans were beneficial for the state, it would be taking on greater risk about the creditworthiness of borrowers and the soundness of the loan. And here's why we believe House Bill 246 is especially flawed, and it's in its definition of proven reserves in Section 13. The Securities and Exchange Commission has spent years developing a definition of proven reserves that would work with respect to honest proven reserves, but would prevent folks from scamming the public with oil and gas prospects with no reserves without any truly proven ones, as industry uses that term. And we say this with no intent to disparage the character or motives of anyone who's been supporting this bill. We just want to point out that if you don't have proven reserves right, if you don't have the definition right, it's not consistent with the Security and Exchange Commission, we believe you really could find folks that will come to Alaska to try and borrow from you with their own version of proved reserves as collateral. And if the state was going to make any of these loans at all, We believe you should use the same definition that the SEC has developed, which has also let the SEC investigate and prosecute suspected abuses, which would save the state money because you wouldn't have to hire state inspectors or prosecutors to do it. So in closing, we would advocate for the state to retain its current fiscal system versus creating a new and expanded loan program. Why create a new program when the current system is already achieving the desired result that the proposed plan got at the time? So with that, Chairman Nagia, Co-Chair Talavico, that concludes my testimony, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Representative Heron.
Yes, good morning, Tara. So if this legislation was successful in getting to the governor's desk and signed, would companies, in your opinion, utilize this this type of legislation? Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Kara. When you say the current system, it sounds like you're talking about, you know, items that are in House Bill 247 is in addition to this concept of a loan program. Is that true?
Representative Carr, through the chair, what we're trying to say is that you already have a system in place, a fiscal system, that is attracting new companies, you're increasing production, and so why our vision would be, or our suspect, or we suspect what the state may do is use loans versus your current system of incentive credits, and we don't know why you would replace one with the other when you already have one that you know is achieving the results that you want.
Okay. Follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow up.
And I'm just wondering, let's set that aside and just isolate and look at this bill as it stands on its own. Right now, ADA is making loans to these oil and gas infrastructure projects. And my understanding is, you know, what this bill does on its own is sort of set aside a fund like the SETS or Arctic Infrastructure Fund that could do essentially the same thing that's being done right now with ADA dollars, but just not run into the problem of getting proportionally out of sync with the other sectors that they're also supporting. And so just as a standalone concept, can you comment on, you know, whether you are opposed to what ADA is doing currently by providing oil and gas infrastructure loans or the proposal to have its own fund?
Representative Carr, through the chair, we have, I believe, one AOGA member company that does have a very small ADA loan, and it's not something that has been utilized very often. You know, most of the time, companies are securing loans and private capital, so the ADA loan was something that Blue Crest did decide to do, but it's not necessarily something that the rest of my member companies utilize on a very frequent basis. And so, again, the state already has the capacity to offer loans. If that's something the industry so desires, we just don't see how an expanded loan program would be beneficial for the state. But again, depending on how the bill passes and what the individual companies would decide to do, they could make that determination then. But there are a few loans out there now. But again, the majority of my member companies are not clamoring for more state loans to help them in this downturn.
For the record, Representative Seaton and Speaker are here. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Ms. Moriarty, the administration has indicated that it for a second year in a row, it may not support an appropriation of the entire amount due on the credit system you talk about. If that's true, and if it ultimately opposes paying all that's due and instead is effectively giving an IOU, what does that do for, or how does that compare to the level of certainty the member organizations are looking for?
Representative Josephson, state money into the industry, whether it's through your current system of credit or your loan program. Why would you expand a loan program when you know the credit system is already achieving the desired result? So obviously we would like to have certainty without a doubt. We are just testifying on the concept, and as we've mentioned, this bill, the way it's currently drafted, has a very serious fatal flaw that I'm not sure folks would even apply for loans based on the current definition of proven reserve, because it's not consistent with how companies currently determine their reserves for SEC purposes.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just needed to grab a copy of the bill. So I'm just looking at a couple of spots that you're talking about. Page 7, line 17, it talks about the reserves, and then top of page 8, a process for confirming the existence of proven reserves sufficient to authorize financing. It doesn't seem like it's an insurmountable problem to have those definitions be more in line, so that what we find at the bottom of page 8 on line 31, could you provide us with the language that you're referring to?
Representative Tarr, through the chair, we'd be happy to follow up with that information so that it is consistent.
Thank you.
I won't, just so you know, I am off-site today. I may not get that to you until tomorrow, but I will get it to you.
Thank you.
Speaker
Chernow,
please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question would be, looking at the classifications and the existing percentages of money that's in the current pool of dollars available for loans, I believe that the number works out to about 14% of the existing capacity are in loans to either oil and gas support or oil and gas companies, and I don't know what that breakdown is. I have no clue what the loan amounts are. My understanding from the department is that they're concerned that they're starting to get heavily weighed into the oil and gas industry. So apparently there is some interest in those type loans, and to me this is a more of a tool in the tool belt that if one of the industry players decides that they want to look for capital, this is just another option for them to look at capital. It may not be the best option for them, but it certainly would be another option. And I think that from my conversations with the ADA folks and with the department is that they're concerned that if they go more than, I think they're having a hard time figuring out how they're going to go more than the 14% of the pie to one industry. So, Kara, I don't know if it if that makes a difference or not. This may not be industry's first choice or your members' first choice, but it may be an option, and I really think it, in the times that we're in right now with the price of a barrel of oil being what it is, that your members are probably not real interested in going out for loans of any kind. Unless they're absolutely necessary. They're not going to spend any extra money. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's really a question in there or if Kara could come back with anything, but that's kind of the way I see what's going on with this loan application.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I seem to remember in our first hearing that this was kind of designed as a replacement for the tax credits, in anticipation of changes to 21. And so I don't disagree with Kara's assessment that this won't replace, but I think this was originally designed. We talked about loan guarantees and a number of things that would actually, you know, replace, especially for some of those smaller producers. So I don't disagree that it's off the mark. I'm not sure it's not a valid program, but I do understand the concerns that they have. I don't think this will replace those credit that are out there in the existing program, but I'm not sure how long the existing program can survive. So I guess there's no comment in there as much as it's just kind of a agreement, but also letting Kara know that I think that she's pretty much spot on. This was, I think, originally designed to replace tax credits.
Representative Heron.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kara, yesterday in the administration's presentation, they provided a four-page, a document on concerns that individual legislators have had over the last several weeks. Are you aware of this sheet of concerns, and specifically concern number 3?
Representative Heron, through the chair, I did see that early this morning. I did not see it yesterday. I think I checked base with too soon. And so I did distribute that to our member companies early this morning, and I have not received any feedback yet, so I'm not in a position to speak specifically. I did see any of the recommendations except for the section on prison reserve. Again, from our viewpoint, it's still not consistent. The recommendation from the administration is still not consistent with what is already currently used. And as I mentioned, I will follow up and send the committee language that will be consistent on proven reserve.
Okay, thank you.
And the other sections, Representative Heron, I'm not in a position right now to speak to it, but I can get feedback to you in the next day.
Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look forward to your responses. Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you very much for your presentation, Kara. And well, do we have anybody here for public testimony? Anyone else online? Mr. Parody?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Fred Parody, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and I serve on ADA's board as the commissioner's designee. And I would just note that the origination of this bill came from our board meeting where we review our dashboard on our loan portfolio and are concerned with the overweighting into the oil and gas sector. We haven't reached a firm conclusion as to whether that number is 14%, 15%, or 20%, but it is a concern when 15% roughly of your portfolio is in a single sector. The only other portfolio that approaches that is mining, which is the Ambler investment that dates back 20-plus years and is, of course, a stable long-term income producer to ADA. So the origin of the bill, it came from that concern, and we believe this bill provides a tool in the toolkit, irrespective of the tax credit issue.
Mr. Chairman, as the Deputy Commissioner indicated, there is that concern that that segment of the pie becomes overweighted, and because oil and gas lending is a little bit riskier, it starts to impact the rest of the lending to all those other things that are listed there as far as retail space, car washes, hotels, all of that. And so that's part of the concern. And so really the legislation is not to create a new source of lending, it's to allow the existing type of lending to continue. Because of out of that blended portfolio right now, the board is concerned that they might be getting tapped out. Also, just with regard to the page of the proposed changes, I'm glad Ms. Moriarty did see a copy of that and get that out for review. I think it's important to point out that with regards to the valuation of the reserves, although the companies may have to adhere to an SEC rule when they're selling stock, you know, and you want to make sure that you're properly valuing your company for the purpose of selling stock on the open market, what we're trying to propose here is just a means by which ADA internally would evaluate the value of a reserve if those reserves are to be part of the collateral that is offered for a loan. We, however, in showing that we've come up with a revised definition, we're certainly open to suggestions on whatever can be drafted up that would potentially be acceptable to the companies. I think if you looked at this language as we worked with the individual's office who had expressed the concern, we tried to come up with a definition that was conservative, so we're not placing more value on a potential reserve than it should have. So I think the effort is to try and err on the side of caution.
Anyone else? Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification, then, reserves, proven reserves, would only come into play if that corporation wanted to use that as collateral for the actual loan versus some other mechanism that they may have, whether that's above ground equipment or whatever they would propose to use as collateral.
Mr. Chairman, to the Speaker's question, there's two issues where reserves will come into play. Number one, the lending is only supposed to be done for infrastructure to actually bring to market proven reserves. So we have to know that there is actually a resource there of the size and quantity, that can actually go to market. Then as the lending is being contemplated and we're trying to collateralize the loan, the initial or the main collateral would be, in fact, the infrastructure itself, the machinery, the value of the gravel pad, the man camp, that type thing. But also a component can be an overriding royalty interest in the reserves themselves. So yesterday we talked about a little bit about sort of over-collateralizing the loan just to be on the conservative side. And so the value of the reserves themselves plus the value of the equipment that's actually being loaned on can all be bundled together to provide good solid collateral for the loan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Hannah. So, Gene, was that looking at the concern document related to this is why would we pencil in, it says here, the proven reserves shall be reduced by 10% in calculating the value of the proven reserves. What's the magic about 10%?
Thank you, and Mr. Chairman, this is Gene Terry of staff to ADA. The reduction there, the 10% is a reduction of the estimated volume, and then you go into the next lines and to figure out the price that you're going to apply onto that reduced volume. And so that's just all, again, to err on the conservative side, that you haven't placed more value on that overriding royalty interest than really could present itself in the future if you had to call on that as part of the collateral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Thank you, Representative Johnson.
On the, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the proven reserve, would you rely on AOGGC to do that? Would you do your own internal? And that's, I'm going back to the SEC. If you've got a definition that they clearly define as proven reserve, then you really don't have to go through that. So if you have a different definition, it seems like you have to have some mechanism to verify that, the seismic, the downhole data and stuff. So who do you envision would be the individual group that would actually evaluate the proven reserves, and would it be AOGGC possibly?
Mr. Chairman, the ADA would use certainly the resources of the state, Division of Oil and Gas, AOGCC, but also the legislation allows ADA to hire consultants that would bring specific expertise to help them with that. And they're not in-house, they would just be brought on a need basis.
Representative Seed, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess we discussed it a little bit yesterday, but I have the concern about proven reserves and the economics of those proven reserves, because the economics of a project within a portfolio or a company could be advantageous, even if the economics as a standalone might not be. And so I'm wanting to make sure that as your definition goes, it includes the economics of the project as a standalone project, unless, you know, you would be getting the collateral of the entire company's portfolio, because we could be looking at that kind of a situation where you're a long ways away, the economics, we've looked at this to make sure that the gross value at the point of production was not below zero for tax purposes. That might still be a beneficial part of a company's portfolio, but as a standalone, if we were financing 50% of a project that couldn't stand alone economically, so that's why I brought that up the other day, and I hope that as we go through this discussion, that works into that proven reserves portion, so it's not just the ANS West Coast value of proven reserves. And I think I think yesterday you folks indicated you would take that into consideration in this redefined definition.
Mr. Chairman, to the speaker, or to the representative's question, I did pose a question to the Department of Law. I'm waiting for a response back. I think on this proposed definition, where it speaks to doing the reduction in estimated volume by 10% and then going into calculating the value of the proven reserve. You then take, say the price of oil right now is $50 per barrel on the West Coast, but the barrel of oil you're talking about is under 2,000 feet underground on the North Slope. You have to net out all of the cost to get it to the surface, get it transported to the market, so that would be deducted as you did that calculation of the value of that barrel of oil in the ground in that particular field. So you would subtract out all those production costs.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seaton, I just want to note the distinction here. In speaking of proven reserves, we're really dealing with a collateralization, an evaluation of collateral. The actual complete decision-making process relative to the loan is embedded in slide 13.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm always one of those deal with the worst case scenario, the bankruptcy, what do we do? And I want to kind of go back to Buccaneer, which Ada claims is, you know, there was no losses, we got our $5 million back, and so everything was fine. But you've got $3 million worth of vendors out there that were never paid. So the state made out okay, but the private sector really did not fare so well in that bankruptcy. So I kind of count that as at best a tie and maybe a loss for the economy. I know we've talked about some kind of surety bond and stuff. Is there any way that in this loan process, and maybe I'm thinking out loud and should probably shut up, but I'm not going to, that we could guarantee that the private sector that's invested in this also has a position somehow protected, because they are, as you so often say, the 700,000 shareholders, well, they're part of it, and they own part of this company, yet they still got stiffed for $3 million on the Buccaneer deal. And I don't know that stiffed is the right word. I don't know if they're still in court and still litigation. So is there any way that we can protect your shareholders in not just making sure that ADA gets its money back, but that the people involved get to get their money back if there's loans and they're used for vendors, et cetera? So is there any mechanism in this to protect those? I mean, the state makes out great, and I appreciate that. That's your job. But We also have to look out for those other 700,000 shareholders you mentioned so often.
Mr. Chairman, on this beautiful sunny day in Juneau, Saturday morning, I don't have that answer at my fingertips. This is Fred Perdy again. But the ADA board has been discussing both the aftermath of the Buccaneer project as well as our ongoing process where we're working on Brooks Range. And I believe Mr. Springsteen can give a more comprehensive answer to that question. It's been under discussion, and I'd like to come back to you with an answer on Monday.
Got it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, but I, Mr. Chairman, if I might, and I, every time I hear that we've never had a project where there's a loss, and yes, we got our money, but there's still those vendors out there that are suffering and going out of business and people not being paid, I can't declare that, you know, maybe our flag's on top of the hill, but there's a lot of bodies underneath, so thank you.
Representative Kilsick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For either gentleman, for Senator Turner, you mentioned overriding royalty, collateralization through infrastructure itself, the reserves, or proven reserves, and the overriding royalty. Is ADA allowed to, in the event of default, take X percentage of a private landholder's royalty share? Is that what you're talking about?
I had a conversation with the director of the Division of Oil and Gas yesterday, and I believe in the Mustang project, the collateral that that ADA took on that is what's called an ORI, overriding royalty interest. So for a percentage of whatever is produced out of that field, when it is produced, that value is pledged as, you know, this collateral. The state does have to be careful in actually taking ownership and putting itself in the position that it is active participant in the field. So if there are capital calls by other partners, the state somehow is obligated. And so in order to avoid that, what the state does is take this ORI position, this overriding royalty interest. It is one degree of separation from that those active owners, and so protects it from those capital calls. It also protects it from becoming part of the stream that has DRNR, ultimate DRNR responsibilities. So I learned something from my conversation yesterday to get answers to some of those questions.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Representative
C. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to follow up and would like to ask you to check with the Department of Revenue and have a conversation on gross value at point of production less than zero, and how that would go into your calculations in the potential loaning on those fields. That is something that we never looked at before, but has come up now as far as a potential, and I think that we need to make sure that we're protecting ourselves in any loans as well. So thank you.
I have some concerns related to this. Concerns is another bureaucracy growing within a certain place, and probably add more staff, more need for space, more everything related to this. And is this you become another lending institution if this goes on?
Mr. Chairman, Fred Perdy from the ADA board. ADA takes very seriously its responsibilities to be efficient. We currently, between ADA and AEA, have 22 unfilled positions, and our intent, we loan in this sector of the economy out of our revolving fund. Essentially what this does is set up a fourth fund to which we could access whatever funds it's capitalized with and continue to loan in this area because we're overweighted. But we envision that the activity, the loan activity, is absorbed within our existing staff. Essentially what you're doing is switching the potential source of funding from the revolving fund to this fund. and ADA's mission in supporting the development of the Alaskan economy and helping to create jobs, we have a niche in the market. We essentially do project finance and we do refinance. And in project finance, that's where you look at the Vigor Shipyard, the ore terminal in Skagway, the Ambler Road. We've successfully helped grow the Alaskan economy, and people come to us seeking our assistance in this area. And in this downturn, it would seem that trying to keep small and mid-sized projects moving, irrespective of the tax credit issue, is worthwhile. So it's within the umbrella of our mission to keep working, and it's not an intent to grow a bureaucracy. And in fact, we pay for our operations out of our earnings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I believe the fiscal note is a zero fiscal note, and that is a reflection of your ability to do this with the existing staff.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yes, Representative Tarr. And also, when we use a consultant to evaluate a collateral, those costs are charged against that loan activity. They're not a general fund supported activity. They come out of a specific project.
Well, Ed, thank you very much for your testimony. And is there any other folks here who provide testimony for this? We'll close public testimony for now. We'll close public testimony. Our next meeting will be on Monday, May 30th at 11 a.m., and we'll have Ada and Senior Assistant Attorney Jerry Jude from the Department of Law to answer questions, provide responses to questions that arose yesterday, and to clarify any outstanding issues on House Bill 246 before the committee. The co-chairs will be accepting amendments on House Bill 246. They must be submitted to the co-chairs electronically no later than 3 p.m. Tuesday, May 31st, and they must be drafted by legislative legal and to the governor's bill, House Bill 246, Version A. We plan on taking up amendments in committee on Wednesday at 11 a.m. Is there any further business for the committee this afternoon? We are adjourned at